Well, we're moving into part three of this very, very, very important series. And this series has had an unusual impact on me. I always pray for you. Part of the call of God upon my life is to pray for you, and I do that on a daily basis. But the way I've prayed, the burden has been heavier and greater because of this topic. The title of the series is Rebuke the Devil. Everyone say, Rebuke the Devil. And if you have not been following along, please go back and listen to the first two messages in this series, because it is vitally important that we learn how to reject and resist the enemy of our soul. We've been putting up this definition over and over again, and I want to do it one more time. What does it mean to rebuke the devil? Okay? It means to holistically, that means holistically, in every part of your life, when you're at work, when you're at home, every facet of your being, you want to resist and reject his deceitful presence and suggestions. You don't want any part of him. You want him out of every part of your life. How many would say, we don't want any part of the prince of darkness or of any of his evil deeds out of my life, out of my family, out of my home, in the name of Jesus? Somebody say amen to that. I'm not being sensational. This is true blue. This is a very important, very spiritual, very real. John 10:10 says this. It says, the thief comes only. There's only one thing that he comes to do. You ready? And what I mean, this is holistically to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's only bad. The devil's intentions towards you and towards everything that concerns you is only bad. We talked last week about how he wants to steal your purpose. You were put on this on the planet for a purpose, to bring glory to God and actually to experience the abundant life. But what he wants to do is steal your purpose, and then he wants to kill. Now, when you think about the word kill means to take away life. The devil came to steal and to kill. He wants to take away life. Now, how does that translate to us? Well, whatever is life to you and whatever produces life for you, he wants to kill that. You see, anything that produces life, Satan's goal is to kill that. No life. He hates life. Jesus came that we might have life and life to the full. Now think about that. So when you think about life, number one, true life, the fullness of life begins when you start a relationship. Everyone say relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says before Christ, we're dead in our sins and in our trespasses. But if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The past is gone. Behold, the new has come. How many are thankful for newness of life that is found in our relationship with Jesus? So the way the fullness of life begins is through a relationship with Jesus. And guess what? Satan wants to kill your relationship with Jesus. And then secondly, he wants to kill all other relationships. He wants to destroy, kill every relationship, because all of life is about relationships. In other words, you can have everything, but if you don't have relationships, you actually have nothing. And so the title of today's message is Rebuke the Devil, Part 3, An Attack on your relationships. You have to understand is one of the greatest ways that he comes at you and at me is he tries to kill. I know that's an unusual way to say that, but he tries to kill all relationships. He wants to devour every single relationship with your parents, with your friends, in every marriage. Do you know Satan hates marriage? Why is marriage attacked, belittled, and distorted so much? It's because he hates marriage. Because a healthy marriage is so powerful in so many ways, towards children, towards society. Marriage, family is the basic building block of everything. And so guess what Satan does? He tries to kill it because he wants to kill all relationships. Listen to this. Rick Warren said, four of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationships to God, while the other six deal with our relationships with people, but all 10 are about relationships. Have you ever thought about that? All of the Ten Commandments are about relationship, whether it be with God or with others. Life is all about relationships. Listen to what Tim Keller said. I think this is so, so powerful. Look, if you're young and you're ambitious, up and coming professional, which is great. You know, it's great that you're working hard. It's great that you're achieving and accomplishing. But watch this. He says, ultimate reality is a community of persons who know and love one another. That is what the universe, God, history, and life is all about. If you favor money, power, and accomplishment over human relationships, you will dash yourself on the rocks of reality. What is he saying? He says, look, you can find yourself with all the toys. You can find yourself with the position. You can find yourself with the bank account. But if there's no one in your life, you have nothing. And so you have to understand how much the devil wants to destroy all of our relationships. And by the way, I was thinking about this week. This particular message, today's topic, I kind of feel like is the hardest of all of them. Of everything that we're covering in this series, this is the toughest. And the reason it's the toughest is because of how it impacts us and how sensitive we are to relationships. This one is tough because, as bad as, falling down and breaking your arm, or as bad as all kinds of pains and illnesses, difficulties illnesses can bring, the greatest pains are the ones that come from relationships. And so, in a moment, I'm gonna give you a couple of key verses. But look, you got to really pay attention to this because this one's tough. It's tough for all of us. But we can be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen? All right. So look, here are the main verses of the day. I'm going to be reading to you from two places. First, there's Ephesians 6. Verse 12, and here's what it says. It says, for we do not, everybody say do not. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me say that one more time. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood. So I'm going to tell you what he's saying even before I read this whole thing to you. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, like, get your mind ready, get your spirit and your heart ready so that when you're operating in the days to come, you can say to yourself, it's them, but it's not them. That's the hardest, okay? When someone is acting evil and wicked and being mean towards you, the hardest thing is to say, it's them, but it's not them. Okay, watch this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It's them, but it's not them. And so this calls for like high discernment. This calls for real spiritual living and thinking. This is a very challenging truth today because it is so easy to want to push back, fight back, hit back when someone hits you, pushes you, and all of the above. And yet we're called to live higher. Everybody say live higher. That's the call of God on every child of God. Thank you. Somebody's saying amen. And let me put it this way. Like, you remember the cartoons with the devil here and the angel here, right? I mean, if that was ever true, it's true for this one. Okay? Because in our relationships, and you'll see this momentarily, even by the definition of his name, he kind of sits there and he's saying all of these terrible things about people in your life. And you have to be able to say, it is written, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right? It's them, but everyone. Some of you couldn't even push it out, but that's all right. We're going to get there by the end of the message. Amen? So remember that this is crucial to experience real victory and freedom. And now this is going to be our guideline for rebuking and resisting demonic suggestions. Romans 12, verse 17. Watch this. It says, repay no one evil for evil. I mean, no one. No matter what they did, no matter what they've done, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Repay no one evil for evil. Don't give them what they give you. On the contrary, give thought. So let's go back over the course of the last 3 years. Let's look at all of the division that we've experienced in our nation. Let's look at cancel culture and all of those things. Nothing broke my heart more than to watch Christians fall into the thinking of the world instead of the thinking that flows from Romans 12:12. This is the high life. This is the victorious life. The victorious life says, I'm not going to act like everyone else. I'm going to act in such a way that is going to bring honor to God and say, even if you denigrate me, even if you put me down, in my heart, I believe that the blood of Jesus can save you. So I'm going to see that. I'm going to dignify that. I'm going to be different so that people are forced to think about Jesus. Okay, so there's been enough distance. I've actually been bringing it up a little bit. So look, I'm going to tell you right from now, at the end of this message, if you've canceled people, you need to uncancel. Watch what the Bible says. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now, the truth of the matter is some people will cancel you, and no matter how much you reach out to them, they don't want any part of you. They don't want to repent. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to, you know, they want to be able to keep doing the mean, hurtful things. This is reality. Some people you kind of do end up staying away from, but that doesn't mean that in your heart you don't want peace with them. You see? So a heart that wants peace has peace. You understand? A heart that wants war is in the posture of war. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen? Let's keep going. It says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So maybe you grew up like I did in my neighborhood. When I was a kid, there was a saying, don't get mad, get even. If you grew up with don't get mad, get even, can I tell you something? You were operating under a demonic suggestion. That is demonic logic. That's not biblical. That's not godly. And that kind of logic will be destructive, not just to other people, but to you as well. And so we have to pray, God, wash certain things out of our spirit. Wash it out, because like I said, like in my neighborhood, it was like, oh, they did that? Well, lay low. Wait till they're alone. Wait till you're with your boys, and then you show them, right? I mean, that's wicked. It's evil. And today's the day we're going to take communion. Listen to me closely if you're watching online, okay? Today is a day that we are going to exalt the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody want to exalt the power of Jesus? Hallelujah. If you want to exalt the power of the blood, you have to exalt what he did to pay for the price of sin for everyone. Not just your sin, but their sin too. God is calling us higher today, but he's also calling us to greater levels of freedom. He's calling us to the abundant life. I'm telling you, this is the pathway to the abundant life. This is the way to get there. So let me, a little bit more. Look, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Am I saying that a terrorist shouldn't, you know, be convicted and shouldn't be prosecuted? Of course they should. Am I saying that some people shouldn't be arrested? Of course they should be arrested. Okay, God has raised up authorities for all of those types of things. But what I am saying is that in our hearts, God can do something that was actually in Jesus while he was walking on the earth. Imagine the weight of sin of the whole world on the Lamb of God, the innocent, perfect, pure Lamb of God. He left perfection and glory to come to this sinful earth. And every time as he was surrounded by the wickedness and the evil, the only thing that cried out of his heart was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many want to be godly like Jesus? We're going to pray in a moment, just a little bit more. It says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then listen, this is the verse I've really been praying over you this week. Okay? It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So here's what I'm praying. I've been praying this all week. You see, some people, when we hold on to unforgiveness, when we refuse to forgive someone, when we hold on to hate, when we say, well, you know, I hate this group of people because this happened to me once. When we hold on to all sorts of pride and rejection, when we make our political position more important than the mind and heart of Christ, when we do these things, we don't realize that we're being overcome. But I prayed today that the blood of Jesus would melt the shackles of resentment and bitterness and hatred. How many want to exalt the blood of Christ with me today? Come on, let's see the blood of Jesus set people free. So if you're watching online right here, come on, let's put our hands on our heart right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this word to you. And God, we ask that the devil would be rebuked, rejected, oh God, that he would be removed from our hearts. Lord, that he would be removed from our minds. We reject his counsel. We reject his ways. We reject his philosophies. We reject everything that concerns him. God, we want nothing to do with the Prince of Darkness. We want everything to do with the Lord of Light. We embrace everything that our King, our Savior calls us to embrace. We will love. We will forgive. We will serve. God, we will lay down our lives to the Lamb of God. So God, I pray for the abundant life. I pray for healing today. I pray that trauma would melt away under the power of the blood of Christ. I pray that anger and resentment and bitterness and envy would melt away by the power of the blood of Jesus. Bless this time. Bless our hearts. Bless our homes and our families and our relationships. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise Jesus right now. Hallelujah. He can do it. He can do it. Hallelujah. Jesus can do it. Now, one of the things I want to do, because I was mindful of the fact that maybe there are people here who've never seen this string of truth together, what I want to do is I want to give you a brief history of Satan and explain to you that the devil ruined his relationship with God. It's in the Bible. Then he tried to ruin Adam and Eve's relationship, man's relationship with God, mankind. And now he lives to ruin all of your relationships today. That's what he does. So let's walk through this very quickly. So first of all, Satan, devil, here's what it means. It means adversary. It means to literally to oppose you. If you want to know how the devil feels about you, is he's against you. He's against anything good for you, okay? Also, he's a slanderer, which means he's always saying terrible things about you and about other people. So going back to, I know it's kind of funny, but I think it really works. Going back to the little devil sitting on your shoulder, you have to understand, he loves to sit on your shoulder and always say something bad about someone else. Okay, look, who do they think? You know, look at what they're wearing. And on and on and on and on and on it goes. You know what? They're this. You know what? They're that. Every time you're listening to that, guess what? It's the slanderer. You see? And think about how much we are shaped by that. And think about how wicked gossip is. What I'm praying is that from now on, the next time you hear someone gossiping, just run. Okay? Just run. You don't need that. You don't need to entertain, talk, especially about other brothers and sisters. How dirty and filthy is that? You know, I don't care how bad they acted. It can't be worse than that. You see? Man, it's kind of quiet in here, but it's all right. It's good. You're catching it. Right? So he's a slanderer, tempter, deceiver, liar, murderer, accuser. He's the evil one. That's what he is. And look at what the Bible says about him from eternity past. Okay, in Isaiah, there are certain prophecies in the Old Testament that spoke specifically about Satan. Listen to this. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Lucifer means light bearer. His first name was not Satan. His first name was Light Bearer. He went from being the Light Bearer to the Prince of Darkness. Okay, he loves darkness, and that's why we reject his presence and his suggestions. It says, how you are cut down to the ground. You may or may not know this, but before man began, there was eternity past, and the angels were created, and he was rebuked out of the presence of God. When we rebuke the devil, we're rebuking what God did. God rebuked him out of his presence. Watch this. In Ezekiel, it gives you even more light. Son of man, take up lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. When he was first created, he was perfect and beautiful. Watch this. It says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you, carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx, jasper, lapis lazuli, a turquoise, and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. Watch this. You were anointed as a guardian cherub. He was a guardian angel, okay? The best that we know, there's Michael, the fighting angel. There's a Gabriel, the messenger. And then there was Lucifer. And from I don't have time to break this down, but many, many commentators believe that he was the great worship leader of heaven. And that he was so beautiful and magnificent that music came out of his soul. It doesn't surprise me that music is such a force for evil on this planet. When you think he's the prince of the power of the air. So when he was in heaven, he was perfect. He was beautiful. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. Watch this. It says you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence. Violence comes from the devil. Payback, hit back, gun them down. It's all from the devil. He's the originator of it. Listen to this. And you sinned, so I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. I expelled you. I rebuked you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty. That's why the Bible says pride goes before the fall. When we are proud, we're acting like the enemy. When we actually think that there's some possible way that you or I could be better than another human being, that is the epitome and the essence of pride. Imagine how foolish division is between each other for any reason, right? But that all comes from our wicked, lying, slandering enemy, the enemy of our soul. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Here it is again. So I threw you to the earth and made a spectacle of you before kings. God rebuked him, and we too should rebuke him in the name of Jesus and in the authority of Jesus. Could somebody say amen? Rebuke the enemy, reject and resist him at every turn. Have no part of him. Have nothing to do with him. We want no part of the enemy. A little bit more, and then we'll get into applying this. Revelation 12 gives us another picture. It says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. The ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, watch this, who leads the whole world astray. We've got to open our eyes. We've got to open our ears. We got to pay attention to what we're taking in. Why? Because he wants to lead the world astray. But greater is he that is in us. He leads us in triumph. He leads us in victory. He leads us in love. He leads us in power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to our God. That's the way he wants to lead you. That's the way he wants to lead you. That's what he wants to do for us. That's what Jesus is able to lead us in triumph. Somebody say amen. So we need to understand that as a slanderer, he falsely projects his evil nature and intentions on to other people. So killing our relationships is the most evil thing that he can do, other than separating us from God. And here's the goal. Satan's goal is isolation. Everybody say isolation. Okay? His goal is isolation. Look at this. The American Psychological Association, they put this article out. This image comes, we didn't make up this image, we took this image. Okay? And here's what they're saying isolation does. Okay? It affects our neural it has great effects over neuropsychiatric disorders. So like eating disorders, depression, learning disabilities, autism spectrum, bipolar disorder, anxiety, dementia, schizophrenia, all of them, it's like been tested and proven. Even the state of your heart, the length of your life is impacted by isolation. And the reason why the enemy loves to get you to withdraw from people, to be alone, is because it not only makes your spirit off, it makes your mind imbalanced and unhealthy, and it makes your body unhealthy. It is not God's will for us to just be alone. Don't say, I don't need anyone. Yes, you do. All right, I know that this one stings, okay? But just go like this, relax, like you're gonna play baseball or something. Just take it in. This is good for you. Amen. This is good for you, okay? This might mess with a lot of ways that you think you're defending yourself. You're not defending yourself. There are a lot of ways that we think that we're protecting ourselves. We're not protecting ourselves. Being alone doesn't protect you. It hardens you. It weakens you. You see, all of these things are the fruit of isolation. The thief comes to steal, kill, here it is, and destroy. And so what we're gonna do now is we're gonna talk about the two ways that the two kind of key application points to rebuking the devil, especially when he's attacking our relationships. Everyone say relationships. And like I said, remember, he's really, really close, kind of sitting on your shoulder with these demonic suggestions about people. Okay? So what are we supposed to do? Number one, we're supposed to rebuke his accusation of others. We're supposed to rebuke his accusation of others. Go ahead and play something for me, brother. Play Lamb of God for me. In other words, what God wants is for us to see, even when we're fighting in marriage, when we're having, how did somebody say it nice? Intense fellowship. Okay, let me tell you, you get two different people, you will have disagreements. Okay, but if you have this in your mind, right, you can look past them and say, wait a second. That's my wife, that's my husband. You know, it's not them. It's them, but it's not them. Okay? You ever have a crazy, rebellious teenager? You know, it's them, but it's not them. They're listening. They're being influenced. That's why you got to get in the spirit realm, right? When your kids are listening to the devil, you got to fight the devil. Don't fight them. You see? So all of these things are so vitally important. We have to, like, see what's going on beyond them so that even though they're being difficult, dark, in some cases evil, we can still say, we wrestle not, everyone, against flesh and blood. Big deal. So you can say that someone is evil, or you could say someone is lost, right? You could say someone is malicious, or you could say someone's acting out in pain. Like, you can see what they're doing. I'm not saying that what certain people do is not evil. It is evil. But you can also say, but you know what? If Jesus saved me, Jesus can still save them. How many believe if they're alive, Jesus can save them? How many have that hope? How many have that faith? Hallelujah. The goal is not to be right. The goal is to win them to Christ. So yes, criminals should be brought to justice, but we also want them to be brought to Christ. It's a different way of thinking. And look, when it comes to our brothers and sisters, I love the way J.C. Ryle put it. Listen to this. Our Lord has many weak children in his family, many dull pupils in his school, many raw soldiers in his army, many lame sheep in his flock, yet he bears with them all and casts none away. Blessed is the Christian who has learned to do likewise with his brethren. Here's how I've tried to apply that, because I'm sure, like you, we all have one, two, maybe more, but everybody has a couple of people who really did you wrong. You know, everybody does. Everyone has people who absolutely stabbed you in the back or hurt you or like just so low. And over the years, one of the things that I've tried to do, it's going to bring us to the second point, is to recognize that if I look at the person close enough, I probably could see a little bit of myself. You know? If you're fighting with your spouse and you really like think about it, you know, you're wrong too. You think about leaders who failed you. You think about people who did you wrong. Now, sometimes that's not the case, but it doesn't matter, because you have failed someone else in a different way that's just as bad. Because sin is sin, you know? So the Bible says each heart knows its own bitterness and no one can share its joy. We love to elevate what other people do wrong, but minimize what we do wrong. Okay? And if you want to get healed, say, I'm not going to minimize what they did wrong. Okay? I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to put my hope in the blood of Jesus. And then I'm also going to recognize that I can do wrong too. And I'm going to need Jesus as well. How many know we just all need Jesus? Which leads us, how do you apply this? Number one, just don't accept the horrible things that the enemy is whispering into your soul about other people. Don't accept it. Say, I refuse to accept it. Right? Then number two, you have to elevate the authority of Christ's blood. You have to say, the blood of Jesus is able to make this better. The blood of Jesus is able to heal. By his stripes, we are healed. Nothing disturbs, debilitates, even destroys the work of Satan. Nothing defangs and declaws the enemy like the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus diminishes the power of the devil, because when we come under the blood of Jesus, how many are thankful? Everyone can be healed and everything can be restored. Come on, come on, let's elevate the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what makes Christianity different from every faith philosophy on the planet. Nobody but the Christian has the blood. I'm not saying I'm just saying that's what it is. Okay? What do you do with sin? Who addresses sin justly? Right? When you see the cross, remember, at the cross of Christ, the love of God and the justice of God were satisfied because Jesus paid the price for our sin. And listen, whoever hurt you, Jesus paid the price for their sin too. Could everybody please say amen? Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. In a moment, we're going to take communion, but I want to finish with this quote. I've watched this since I've been in the ministry. I've watched this. Okay, this is true for individuals, it's true for families, and it's true for groups, even cultural groups. This has always been the case. But let me give you a quick example, then I want to read a quote by Dr. King to you. So, you take, and I've seen this a lot, you take the child of the mother who says, no matter how horrible their father has behaved, I will never say a negative word about their father. Whatever conclusion they come to, that's on them. But me, I will never say something bad about their dad. You take the child of that mother versus the child of the mother who embraces bitterness and says, I want them to know. You need to know what kind of snake your dad was and all that. You take that child, I'm telling you right now, the child whose mother said, I'm not going to dishonor his father. Those kids grew up way more healthy, happy, free, strong. You see, because whatever you put under the blood, the mother that says, I'm going to draw a line right here by the blood of Jesus, and my son is not going to act like his father because the blood is powerful. I claim the blood over his life. I claim the blood of Jesus. He will not be that way. I refuse to pass that on. Hallelujah. Lamb of God, worthy is the Lamb of God. So look at how Dr. King spoke to this so powerful, and then we're gonna take communion in a moment. Look, he said, in spite of the fact that the law of revenge solves no social problems are solved by revenge. Never has and never will. There's no proof of it in history. Revenge doesn't get it done. Right? It says, in spite of the fact that the law of revenge solves no social problems, men continue to follow its disastrous leading. History is cluttered with the wreckage of nations and individuals that pursued this self-defeating path. If you want life, if you want freedom, if you want joy, if you want peace, you've got to give up revenge. You've got to embrace forgiveness. Somebody say, I choose the blood of Jesus that pays the price for all mankind. Hallelujah. That's where the life is. That's where the freedom is. You know what he said? Dr. King also said, he said, an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind. It's true, isn't it?